You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring clinical and forensic psychologist Joni Johnston.
New accusations have come out, new revelations, I should say, have come out in the new Netflix documentary in part two about the Murdaughs. Curtis cousin Eddie Smith, who we should note, not the most reputable of individuals that has been part of this case, but he is featured in there. And when asked about the shooting incident where Alec claimed that Curtis Eddie Smith tried to kill him at his request, he said he sat down before then and he asked Alec, "Why do you want me to do this?" After saying he would not do it, Alec's response was, "Because they're going to be able to prove that I'm responsible for Maggie and Paul." What's your thoughts on that, and why are we just hearing this right now?
Well, that's the elephant in the room, right? Yeah. I mean, there has been a lot of time for this information to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard for me. You know, could it be true? It absolutely could be true. I can't think of a good reason why this information, if it was true, would not have come out before now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would just be hearsay to a certain extent. It would be Eddie making this claim, and he's already kind of proven not to be that credible. So it's like, what do you believe out of Eddie? Some stuff seems to be, some stuff doesn't. It's just, it's very hard to know. Alec now saying he's going to be pleading guilty to 22 federal charges, including wire fraud, bank fraud, money laundering. For someone who very much seems like a malignant narcissist and just every single turn in his life he has lied, what's changed in Alec's mind to allow him to say, "I did it, I'm guilty"? Is it because he's completely backed into the corner at this point?
That is my sense. Either that, or he, you know, he is starting to become more concerned about his reputation. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bottom line, I think, Tony, is that it's hard to imagine, based on everything that's come out about Alec Murdaugh, and of course, we've seen the worst, you know, of the things he's done and how he is as a person. That's always been presented that way. But it's hard to imagine that he's doing it for anything other than for his own self-interest. Whether if there's a real self-interest in the outside world in terms of he thinks this is somehow going to help his criminal case or whatever, or it's just he's thinking, okay, this is my best strategy for maintaining relationships, whatever it is, I can promise you there's a self-interest involved here.
The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree is the saying that came to mind when I heard the following in that new documentary about the Murdaughs. Paul's former girlfriend was interviewed, and she gave some very interesting breadcrumbs about what life was like in the Murdaugh family prior to Alec's dad, Randolph, passing away. She said that one person in the family had said to her that Mr. Randolph, at one time, him and his wife, Miss Libby, were in a rough marital situation. She wanted a divorce. He didn't. So what did he do? He published an obituary, her obituary, in the Hampton County Guardian newspaper while she was very much alive, almost as a look what I can do, look at my control here, to try and back her down from divorce. Someone who would do that, number one, to their wife, and this seems to be part of the family culture, if you will, doesn't seem to be all that shocking when you learn that you have a son like Alec Murdaugh that would come out of it. What does it tell you about the psychology of this family and just what is normal to them and utterly absurd to everybody else?
Well, I think what it says, I mean, we all have values in our family, and, you know, hopefully those values are congruent with the rest of society, and that they're loving and generous and tolerant and all the things that we all aspire to being. But I think it does say that, you know, people are highly influenced and shaped, not only by how their parents parent them, but also by the things they see their parents doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it certainly speaks to this level of self-interest, narcissism. I'm going to get what I want, no matter who gets hurt. I'm the most important person. Nobody's going to cross me. And if you do, you're going to pay the worst consequences. I mean, these are all messages that kids would get and would be passed down from generation to generation.
And it seems without shame from a husband to a wife, it just seems so extreme and crazy. But it seems like that sort of thing was normalized in that family.
Well, and I think, you know, if you kind of try to get in that perspective, Tony, why would there be shame? Because this person's communicating basically, I can do whatever I want to with you.
Yeah.
Whether it's you're my possession or, you know, I'm the most important person or whatever. You know, shame is not very congruent when you think about it. Why do people feel shame?
Mm-hmm.
When they're embarrassed about something they've done, they recognize that they've crossed some line. They recognize that, you know, they've done something that they should be, you know, should regret. Why, if those are your values, mm-hmm. shame wouldn't come into it at all.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.